You're listening to the Clutter Fairy Weekly, a weekly webcast and podcast brought to you by the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas. If you'd like to participate in one of our live webcasts, please visit cfhou.com/weekly. You'll find a calendar of upcoming webcasts, as well as instructions for joining the Zoom meeting via the app or by phone. We'd love to see you. That URL again is cfhou.com/weekly. Now here's the weekly episode. Enjoy.
Hi, Clutter Fairy fans. This is the Clutter Fairy Weekly for July 19th, 2022. I'm your co-host, Ed Gumnick, and I'm speaking with Gail Goddard, certified professional organizer and owner of the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas.
Hi, everybody. The Clutter Fairy Weekly is the webcast and podcast that digs deep into the clutter that piles up between you and the life you want to be living. We explore the habits and behaviors that lead to clutter, and we suggest strategies to slow the accumulation, reduce the collection, and comfortably manage the stuff we decide to keep.
If you're new to our Zoom meeting, we want to let you know that you can share your comments and questions via the chat, and I'll try to make sure Gail gets to them before we move on to another topic. You can also use the raise hand feature to let us know if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment yourself via audio or video. We're also streaming live on Facebook, so you can share your questions and comments there, and I'll relay them to Gail. We're going to start by talking about last week's weekly tittle, which was called Reclaiming the Kitchen. The assignment was to address kitchen clutter using one of the approaches we talked about last week, cultivating a new habit, assigning places for things that keep turning up in the kitchen, even though they belong somewhere else, or eliminating an item you no longer need or use. Let's hear from our participants in Zoom and on Facebook who made progress in the kitchen this week. Please let us know in the comments.
Who went and got rid of something that didn't need to be there? I have to say that I'm working on an estate clear out right now. And the biggest clear out area besides the master closet that had the deceased wife stuff still in it was the kitchen. There's so much product that we stash in the kitchen, and I don't know why it's the place that we have to stash it all, but there's always so much in the kitchen. And so it's one of those places that is ripe for clearing down, thinning down, making more functional.
Marsh has her hand up. Go ahead, Marsh. You'll have to unmute yourself.
Hi, all. Thank you. Hope you're cool. Yes, I wanted to say this last week. So I got busy. Thank you all. And Gail and Ed, I got busy. Much that's the stress. I used to live on a houseboat up there in San Francisco and also in an Airstream.
Okay.
About organization. And that's what I did. I couldn't do it the normal way because I live in a really old mobile. What I did get to do, and I'll make this quick, is I took out with my crowbar and my jigsaw, I'm the jigsaw queen now, all these upper cupboards in my little tiny horrible kitchen. And I remembered what it was like on the houseboat, how organized the galley was.
Right.
So I moved both of my metal racks, those huge Costco racks, fixed the shelving so I could put it right over my stove and put the second one right over my kitchen sink. I remodeled my kitchen. Now,
good for you.
Don't ask me about the mess, everybody. I got a lot of forward motion to go, but I looked at that stack and went, I could never have done this on the boat. I would have sunk it or the Airstream. Thank you all.
Good job. Thanks for that report and how proactive of you to run to the kitchen. That's great.
Call me now. The jigsaw queen. It was easy to take those icky cabinets out that I couldn't even reach, and I'm 5'9". I couldn't.
Oh goodness.
Even reach
them. Yeah. That's if you can't reach them and you're that tall, then forget it. Right. Good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Connie reports, I have donated a really big heavy pan and donated 40 jars for someone making jam.
Ooh, that's great. Good job. And Anita's got her hand up. What did you do with the kitchen, Anita?
I did donate my uncle's arroz con pollo pot.
But
I told them when I brought it in. And do you know that the girls at BOA, where I was donating, they said, oh, couldn't you keep it? Couldn't you bury it? Couldn't you put flowers in it? I said, no, it's supposed to be used.
Don't talk me out of it. Don't give it away.
And then the other thing that I did was I realized that, oh my, I have one shelf where I have a lot of corningware and glass dishes.
Yeah.
And I realized I still had two lids for the pot that I broke over a year ago. Oh. So, but I straightened it out. And now what I'm doing is if I see a small area that really annoys me, I do it right away. If it's going to take less than a couple of minutes, I just do that. I don't look at it as a whole. I got to do the whole kitchen. It's like
this. Yeah. 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 That's a great thing. That's a great approach. And it totally works 100%. Good job. Yeah.
I also got rid of a stack of all recipe magazines this high by going through, and mind you, I had marked recipes, so I just took out the ones that I had marked and I got rid of the rest.
Good job. That must have really thinned down that pile.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Down to one magazine with just a bunch of magazines of recipes stuffed into it. So now I've got to test them though.
All right. Start cooking, baby.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Susan Marie?
So I worked in two areas in my kitchen. One, I went through a lot of plastic storage containers. I have far too many of them. And anyway, so I've gotten rid of half of them. I'm donating them. They're still usable, but
yeah,
not by
now.
So, and the other thing, I've been working, going through things in the fridge and the freezer. And I don't know... I live in New Jersey. I don't know if you ever see a progressive a commercial on television where it's Dr. Rick and he's helping people who are becoming their parents. Okay.
Oh, yes.
In this one, and I laugh every time I think of myself. In this one, he refers to the freezer and is telling this man, this is a freezer. It is not a time capsule.
Okay? I've seen that commercial.
So that applies to me. So I went through things in the refrigerator and I'm in the process of taking it apart and cleaning because some things had spilled and leaked down underneath the crispers, you know, and everything.
Yeah, so there's always something goopy somewhere.
Yeah, and I'm working my way through eating through the freezer instead of buying more food and sticking it in the freezer. Yeah.
Good job. You did a lot. Good for you. Thanks for sharing with us. Oh, go ahead.
Linda also said, I've been doing the clean out the kitchen technique of eating up the excess.
Good. That's very good. That'll clear it out.
And the other Linda or another Linda, I don't know how many Lindas are in here. There are at least two, said, asked, does filling a second 60-yard dumpster count, taking satisfaction in any forward movement? Oh, heck yes.
Holy Definitely. Toledo. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. If you fill the dumpster,
There are actually five Lindas in here today.
We are Linda-centered today.
Rich in Lindas.
So Michelle's the last tittle reporter today. What do you get to say?
Mine was a little bit more of acceptance. Because my husband, especially when it's warm like this, stocks up on so much soda and the cupboard's full and then they end up in the utility. So I thought, well, 13 years of trying to train him, I'm just not winning. So instead, part of the soda cupboard, soda and booze, was taken up by his bread maker. So I've pulled that out. Made room for all the sodas, made room for all the oils and vinegars off the worktops, put them away. And then I've found a different cupboard that had a rice cooker that was my late mother's and I have never used. So I've put that in the cupboard, in the closet, in the utility, but I think that is going. Because I've never used it. I don't think my late mother ever used it.
Right.
And also in the box was a toasty maker that I bought in 2003 that I used once. And it's such a pig to clean. I've never used it since.
There you go. And kitchen appliances take up so much counter space or cabinet space because they're big. And a rice cooker is not a small little thing. It's a big box of, I mean, it's huge. Yeah.
It's huge.
So those are perfect things. Like, you need that cabinet space for soda. You don't need the rice cooker and the bread maker and right. Well, like, those are great. Those are great things. Well, that's okay. But you can relocate it, which was probably a smart thing. Like, and that's really, you know, you're adapting to the use that's actually taking place, right? Like, this is his habit. This is, you need to be able to store it. If you want to live with it, then you've now made room for it to accommodate the fact that he's going to do it no matter what. And, and then it's easier to live with, right? So, I mean, great job of adapting to your reality and noticing that the bread maker can live somewhere else so he can do sodas. The big rice cooker can go on because nobody's keeping up with it. And getting those appliances out gives you a big cube of space that you didn't have before. So that could be used for something else. So good job. You did good. Yay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle. Linda, one of the many Lindas said, going through my mom's kitchen carefully, we're staying with her post fire. This is the Linda that had a house fire.
A few months ago. Okay.
And she says, going through my mom's kitchen carefully and threw out just broken stuff. And, you know, I think that's probably, you know, even people who think they have, you know, they need everything they're keeping could probably go through and find appliances that have stopped working since the last time you used it, or things that are chipped, things that are cracked, things that have been, you know, scuffed up beyond being
since replaced with something that is new and improved, right? Like, you have the old version that's beat up, and then you have a newer version that you already replaced it and you didn't get rid of the beat up one.
Yeah. Okay, I think we should move on to our main topic, because we have a lot to say about that as well. And that is the bathroom. The bathroom is typically an undersized room that plays an oversized role in functions vital to our health, hygiene, appearance, and relaxation time. In other words, a hotspot for clutter accumulation. Today, we're going to delve into the sources of bathroom clutter and offer solutions for keeping yours efficient, organized, and relaxing.
We'll be right back. If you know what Lila stands for, then this podcast is definitely for you. Two besties since middle school turned moms and psychologists chat the good, the fun, and the yucks of life.
We're tackling all things mental health, from our own personal self-esteem to losses like friendships and parents, as well as addiction. Many things as midlife mamas are going through, from our own personal experiences with our added professional flair.
We hope each week our listeners feel like they just left a good old therapy session with their bestie. We'll dish tips and tricks to help keep your mental wellness in check and hopefully make you giggle a time or two.
Be sure to check us out each Monday and meet your life's newest cheerleaders, Sarah and Jen, with the Lila's Podcast.
Thanks to everybody who answered the survey about the bathroom clutter. We got about 100 responses again this time. It was great. And so here's the percentage takeaways from the survey. 68% of the respondents experienced bathroom clutter. It's not as high as the number for kitchens, but it's still a problem for a lot of people. And of those who experience bathroom clutter, 84% report that it's a chronic problem. So those stats sort of lead me to believe that for most people, 2/3 of the people have problems with clutter in the bathroom, and a big portion of those people find it to be a chronic problem. And that means that there's a small third of the people that Ed did our survey that managed to keep up with it. And so we're going to lean on those people for their solutions later. 39% of those who have more than one bathroom report that clutter is a chronic problem in the second or third bathroom as well. So it's not just corralled in the main bathroom you use all the time, that clutter problem shows up in more every bathroom in the house. So that I hadn't thought to ask that question, but it was a great response that Ed extracted out of the survey. Really interesting. We asked the respondents how bathroom clutter has negatively affected their lives. And there were several recurring themes in the responses about the impacts of clutter. The first one was about money spent. several respondents reported wasting money rebuying products that they ultimately already had and didn't realize or couldn't find or had forgotten about. Time isn't a problem for people with bathroom clutter. The clutter means that they're spending more time trying to find things that you need. Getting ready in the morning takes longer and so on. Bobby shared, it takes extra time to work around the clutter. And that's true in the bathroom, just like it is anywhere else in the house. If you're struggling to get, if there's too much going on, you're going to waste a bunch of time looking and you're going to waste a bunch of time maneuvering around what's in the space that doesn't have anything to do with what you're doing in the moment. And always gets in the way. It always slows people down. Health is negatively affected by bathroom clutter. There's too much stuff in the bathroom that makes it harder to clean the bathroom. It makes it harder to clean the counters. And a dirty bathroom can impact your health in all kinds of negative ways. You're going to collect dust. You might be using a bunch of products that have chemicals in them, or, you know, the makeup that gets dusty or dirty, the left, you know, soapy residue soap in places. Scum. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. All that kind of stuff is not really going to be keeping the surface clean and sanitary for you as you are in there taking care of yourself. And so
if you can't clean adequately, you end up with, you invariably end up with mold and mildew, which
bacteria,
lots of people are allergic to.
Yes. And it grows in the bathroom that is always wet and damp and trying to get dry. Right. The last thing that people reported about the bathroom clutter and its effects were the loss of peace of mind. The broad category of answer received the most frequently was related to the psychological effects of clutter. We heard lots of variations on it's stressful, it's frustrating, it weighs me down, it's aggravating, it's not peaceful, there's a lack of peace, it's not restful. Susan said, I think the bathroom should be serene, relaxing space. I like to soak in the bath, but it's not. And so if you go into the bathroom and it makes you clench your teeth, then it is affecting your mental health. And we don't want that to be true. So it's worth the effort to try to tackle it to bring you some more relaxation in the bathroom. So we got some specific problems reported about the bathroom. And the number one answer, top answer on the survey is too many products. There's way too many products. People said they try stuff and then they don't like it, but they don't throw it out. They keep a larger volume than anybody can realistically use. They have too much travel stuff. They have too many makeup options. So basically bathroom products is one of those places where people go and buy a lot and they get tempted to buy multiples, different flavors, different scents, you know, here's the newest, latest and greatest mascara, but you haven't finished the last mascara. We buy way more than we can actually consume in a reasonable amount of time. And so those products back up. And that was the number one answer through everything. There was others as well. One of them is limited storage. That's very typical for a bathroom. People reported that they had small counters or they had no counters. Like the sink is a pedestal sink. So there's basically no surface around the sink to put anything. They have limited cabinet storage. Usually there might be an under sink cabinet, maybe. There might be a linen cupboard, something small on the wall. But generally in bathrooms, unless it's a huge master bath, there's not a whole lot of cabinet space. And what's there is a little tiny cube. So that limited storage space that's built into an average bathroom is small. Another complaint was about sharing bathrooms. So either there's one bathroom and the whole family uses it, or you're sharing your bathroom with your spouse. And the complaints were that the other people that are sharing don't clean up, that it's hard to share the space with somebody else. It sort of compounds the there's too many products problem because everybody has their own products. They all have their own products in the bath, in the shower. They have their own products on the counter. And so having multiple people's products in the bathroom was compounding the problem. There's always too much stuff on the counters. That was a reported problem across the board. There's always too much stuff on the counters. One that I was surprised by was people complained that there was a bunch of stuff where they had dropped when they'd come in for at the end of the day, and they sort of emptied their pockets and dropped that stuff into the bathroom. I wouldn't think of the bathroom as typically a place where those kinds of things, like here's what comes out of the pockets as you're getting undressed, maybe, or here is where you empty your pocket with your wallet and accumulated stuff. But apparently that's a problem for some people, is that they come in and that's where the generally in the bathroom is where those pockets get emptied and dumped. And so then you sort of have that flotsam pile that's sitting there that has nothing to do with the bathroom. That's just creating, you know, a pile of mess in there. We also talked about, we also saw the complaint about the electric appliances in the bathroom, the toothbrush, the electric toothbrush or the blow dryer, curling iron, those kinds of things. All those appliances have plugs and cords, and that those plugs and cords make a mess, that having things plugged in and having the cord dangling around on this small countertop or hanging off the side or falling out of the drawer that the curling iron is stuffed in, that that makes management of the stuff difficult, and it makes clutter because the cord sort of gets everywhere. And I find that the cords then knock things over on the counter. Like you move this, the hair dryer or the curling iron around, and the cord's dangling around on the counter, and it's knocking things over. And so,
or drag things off onto the floor.
Yeah. Creates a, you know, an active swiping of the counter problem. So one of the questions that we asked was about people that have clutter-free bathrooms and what their lifestyle is like. And so our audience members who report not struggling with the chronic bathroom issue, that was that 30-ish percent, shared what works for them. And so here's one of our favorite quotes in response to that question. Someone wrote, "Reject the temptation of variety and options and stick with the same reliable products. Store a small back sock in a closet outside, but near the bathroom. Do a quick monthly decluttering pass in the bathroom. I'm in a two-person household with one small bathroom, so that is a powerful motivation to keep it clean and uncluttered. I have a very simple grooming routine and complete as much of it as possible outside the bathroom." So that works. That was a great, like, this is how we cope with a small bathroom and two people. And she's, I'm assuming it's a she, is maintaining it as a way that's successful for the two of them in their living situation. So that's great. There are a few themes that came up over and over again from people who reported success in keeping their bathrooms under control. Number one was minimize the number of products. If you don't like something, get rid of it immediately and give it away, donate it, etc. Somebody wrote, use it to clean the toilet. I just think that's a good idea. Assign a place for everything. That's standard organizing, you know, mojo. You got to assign a place for everything. Store overstock items out of the bathroom if possible. I think that's a really good one. It's a good tip from the respondents that the bathroom is small enough. So if you have a huge back sock of extras, you probably don't want to keep all that in the bathroom itself. You probably want to find another place for it to live. If you want to stock a store in your house, you probably don't need to actually stock it in the bathroom. Having that be containerized somewhere else would be great. Containerize smaller items so they don't end up scattered on the counter or at the edge of the tub. That container process works really well on counters. And like they said, on the edges inside the shower or the tub. Having a container for that stuff to sit in so it doesn't, it's not falling around, you're not kicking it over, you're not knocking it off. That's really helpful in the bathroom where the surfaces are so small already. And monthly to do a maintenance check to make sure that no new clutter has established a foothold. That's great. So those are responses of how we manage our, how we keep our bathroom under control from the people that answer the survey. And we can add some fabulous clutter-free solutions to the bathroom. So because product was such a heavy issue, product, too many products, right? So the first solution we're going to suggest to you about that is you want to buy less. Use up what you have, even if it's not your favorite, before you go replacing things. And recognizing that that standard bottle of shampoo that you buy that's super big because the volume, you think you're getting a better price deal, because you've got 64 ounces or 32 ounces or whatever of that shampoo, and then it takes you 4 months to use it all. That means that you're going to have, you know, three bottles of shampoo in a year or four, and maybe you have 27 bottles of stuff that you would wash your hair with. I mean, we as consumers in the bathroom, we buy way more product than we need just because it looks like fun. And then we compound it by buying larger because we think we're getting a better deal if we buy it larger. And so then we just add to our ability to take a million showers. And the truth is, you know, unless something really goes wrong in your day, you're probably only going to take one shower a day. Now, you know, if it's 104, you might take a second shower to cool off. But, you know, if you have a bad day and you fall down in the mud, maybe you're going to come home and take a second shower. But this isn't going to be standard practice that, you know, mostly you're going to take one shower a day. So there's only so much product you can go through. And having an endless supply that you have to maintain, containerize, find some place to park, you know, and if you just keep adding to that collection, you're never going to get ahead. And that problem just grows and grows and grows. And so buying less is the first solution. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, and the bathroom specialty stores do not help matters by offering you buy two, get one free, or, you know,
buy seven and get two free.
Yeah. Well, and so maybe the habit to think about there is go with someone else, you know, shop with a friend and buy the deal and divide it between
and
you.
And split the products, exactly.
Or buy the deal and put a couple of them right away as Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
You know?
And share. I used to go go to one of those bath specialty stores, and I would buy the travel size, because the travel size would be 3 ounces or 4 ounces or 6 ounces. And it wouldn't be nearly as much as a regular product. And so then if I wanted the variety, I could buy two or three travel size items instead of one full size item, and have a little, okay, I can change the scent a couple of times in the next several months. And the travel one will run out faster than the big one. And it was a way for me to recognize there's only me and I'm only taking one shower a day. And if I want to have 2 cents, there's no point in buying two full bottles, because that's going to get me 6 months of body wash. So there's ways that you can buy less, buy smaller portions in order to help you use up what you've got and not store too much. You definitely want to clean up the excess products in this process of, oh, I'm trying a new mascara. Oh, I'm trying a new blush. Oh, I'm trying a new shampoo. Oh, that body wash looks fun. Oh, look, I need bubble bath. Oh, look, you know, all of those products that you have thought looked pretty and that the marketing worked, the packaging caught your eye, everything that they did to make you buy that jar of whatever that you didn't need, all that excess needs to go. And so you need to go through those products, and we're going to talk about that later, and pull out the stuff that's excess that you tried and you didn't like it. You used it for a long time and then you got bored with it. Like, you know, here's this huge pump bottle of body wash and you used it for 4 months or 6 months and you're sick of the scent. Well, then here's a whole nother half a bottle that you got to use up, and you're not going to do it because you're tired of it. So there's all kinds of products that need to come out, and you don't want to just throw them away. I know everybody gets really wigged about shampoo is still usable. Of course it is, but you're not going to be the one that uses it. So the solution is to donate it away to someone's going to use it. So here, find the women's shelter, find the refugee program, find the people that are helping someone recover from a fire. Here's the homeless shelter. Take them to the office and stick them in the break room in the office and let anybody that wants take some of it home. There's a way for you to interact those products. Do a buy nothing group. People join buy nothing groups on Facebook and they offer up things for people to, here, I have these, you know, 17 shampoo bottles, who wants some? And then they just trade things around for free. And so you can donate those to people that will use them now, instead of having them die a natural death in your bathroom and take up storage space that you don't have. basically you want to take it any place where there's lots of people that can pick up the excess. Love the idea of narrow plastic containers in the medicine chest. I've talked about that before, and that was mentioned several times in the survey that people get the long, you know, it's like 2 inches wide, narrow containers that sit on the shelves in those in-wall medicine cabinets that have very narrow shelves, of course. And if you just stack a bunch of stuff on that little tiny shelf, inevitably things come falling out because you reach in and grab something and you knock other stuff and it's crazy. But if you have a little container in there that's narrow and has some level of sides to it, you can stack things in there. It will keep up with them. It increases the capacity of the shelf by letting you have a little bucket there, and then things don't fall out on your head. So that's always a good solution.
Joyce shared, I did a major declutter of my bathroom cupboards last year when I had windows replaced. Dollar Tree basins I had bought for school science experiments are repurposed as containers for the products that were left after I tossed icky old stuff, and a variety of smaller Longaberger baskets store the countertop stuff that was left after I threw out the old makeup. Still hey. Works pretty well.
That's great, right? Containerizing really helps. And it particularly helps, as you say, on top of the counter when you narrow down the stuff that's going to be on the counter to the things that are what you use every day or what you use most often. And if you'd only use it once a month, maybe if you only use it once a week, it probably doesn't need to be on the counter because there's things that you get up and use every day. And if you want those things out on the counter because there's not enough drawer space, or you want the makeup separate from the personal hygiene stuff, then having an on the counter storage container, whatever that looks like, maybe it's a little container with drawers in it that pulls out. Maybe it's just like you say, it was a basket, any kind of an open box that's narrow or small that allows you to stand things up in it. All of those work to contain the stuff that you use every day. And then it's not hard to clean that. You pull the products out and you can wipe out the container and wipe the counter and put it back and stack everything back in and you're done. It's not, it's not the way to put 100 million products on your counter. You're not trying to do that. You're trying to have those containers on the counter surface to be, here's my daily makeup. Here's my daily hygiene products. Here's my daily hair products, whatever that might be, down to the stuff that you use every day. And that corrals it on the counter. It also allows you to share space if you have, if you're one of those people that's sharing the bathroom with one or more than one other person. You can have containers that are designated for each person. You can also have, someone else suggested that they had portable totes. So that each of us has a zippered case for our daily meds and supplements. We store these on the shelf in our bedroom closet and with a medical history and index card for all the meds. So their daily meds are in a container that's actually in the closet instead of in the bathroom. Clever idea. And if you do that with any other kind of products that you use every day, you can have a container for, if you have to share the bathroom and there's no counter space, maybe you pretend like you're in college and you have a portable tote that is going back and forth to the shower, right? Here's my shower caddy for the stuff that I use. And then the products come back out and go into my closet, or they go on the counter in my container, or they go under the cabinet in my container. And so you can sort of separate and share space, share with your whoever else is sharing your bathroom in that way, that everybody has their own container. An over-the-door Elfa rack. So that's a specific, here's the bar that hangs over the door and it has slot-in shelves. Or you can get any other kind of over-the-door product that works, any kind of a hanging shoe pocket kind of product that can hang over the bathroom door, which can provide some basically vertical surface going up the wall by having it be all up the door. It's a way to store some product. Now, again, you don't want that to be, if you have no storage space at all and you're trying to add storage by adding an over-the-door rack of some flavor, it's likely that you need that for the active use stuff that's not where the backstock's going to go. So all of that backstock probably needs to be containerized and parked somewhere else. Storing cleaning products centrally in another room. We all have our products that we use in the bath and don't use anywhere else in the house. But those products, other than maybe you want to have the toilet cleaning product in the toilet or near the toilet, and maybe you want to have a mirror, you know, some kind of window cleaner that's near the mirror. But if you have a collection of things that you use to clean the bathroom and sanitize the bathroom, maybe you just want a little bathroom caddy of cleaning supplies, and that doesn't have to live in the bathroom if you're limited on space. If you have a pedestal sink and you have no under sink cabinetry, then there's the logical place for those cleaning supplies isn't present. So having that be in a caddy and having that live somewhere else would be a way to get around that. And cleaning products tend to be tall, and bathroom cabinets tend to be short. So, and particularly when you go into linen cabinets that are up on the wall, those hanging, free hanging cabinets that get installed in bathrooms are usually very narrow. They're only, you know, 10 inches deep, maybe 12 inches deep if you're lucky. And then the space between the shelves is less than that. And so the typical tall cleaning bottle won't fit. It's too tall to stand in something like that. And so it's not a good way to store the cleaning products in those kind of cabinets. Now, if you have a huge master bath and you got a whole bunch of under cabinet space, you got a counter that has two sinks in it, and you've got seven cabinet doors under there, there might be a place for you to store cleaning products in a caddy under a sink in the bath. But if your bathroom is any kind of smaller shape, it's one of the things that makes sense to store out of the room. You can add a small multi-drawer unit on the counter for makeup or other products. So those daily use products, makeup is a big one, right? Like everybody buys a multitude of product in makeup and they keep all the options. But the truth is that there's makeup that you wear every day, and then there's the makeup that you wear on special occasion. So you crack out all the fancy colors and all the fancy glitter and all the stuff that really dresses you up. That stuff, you probably have a bigger variety of it, but you don't use it as often. And so separating your makeup into, I use this every day and I don't use this every day, allows you to containerize those things separately. And so the makeup that you use every day, it makes sense to have it in a counter based unit, maybe a little drawer thing or some kind of, you know, a twirling Lazy Susan kind of caddy, or they make some makeup specific ones that are clear and designed to sit on and hold stuff, products on the counter. But you don't want 180 lipsticks on the counter. You want the three that you use every week, every day. And then the rest of them need to be somewhere else. And so having a makeup kit, some kind of container storage for the fancy stuff that you use later, you can contain it, go put it in the closet, put it under the sink. If you have cabinets, you can put it under the sink so that those don't get in the way of your daily functioning. And you can bring it out when you're going out to a fancy dinner or you're getting ready to get your picture taken or whatever. You're going to go get all gussied up. Otherwise, you leave this stuff on the counter that you use every day and make the other stuff go away. You can install a shelving unit of some kind in the bathrooms that are thin on the ground with cabinets. So they make over the toilet versions that stand up over the back of the toilet, freestanding on their own legs. And then it has little cabinets at the top. They're not usually very big. The cabinet space is usually quite tight, but you can maybe keep a few towels in there. You can keep a little bit of product. You can keep a few rolls of toilet paper or something like that. You can have a little bit of area from those over the toilet racks. There's also lots of tall, shallow cabinet units that you can install a freestanding cabinet basically into a bathroom if you don't have any storage already.
Anita said, I converted a shelf unit for VHS tapes to a bathroom cabinet. Ooh. For cleaning products, toilet paper, et cetera, by adding two doors, actually drawer fronts. It only takes 10, 10 inches square of space.
Yeah, yeah. Those are shallow. Means,
you know, footprint.
Yeah.
But is about 5 feet high and has adjustable shelves. It fits in the corner of what I call the toilet closet in my master bath.
But that's excellent. Like, what a great adaptation, because those VHS tape racks were tall and skinny, tall and narrow. And that's a perfect footprint in a bathroom that's already tiny, right? And so what a great idea to put some doors on it. And then you have tall, skinny storage space to accommodate some product. That's great. And again, it's not going to hold 100 items, but it's going to hold some items that you like to have present in the bathroom for regular use. And so that was a great way to sort of add cabinetry where none existed. Good job. There's other, you can get all kinds of tall, skinny shelving units. You can also free hang some shelves on the walls if you want. If you just slap shelves up or use a bookcase of some kind or something, then you have the same issue of it's a long, thin surface. And in order for those tall, you know, all of the hair products, there's all kinds of tall, skinny, top heavy products in the bathroom that are easy to knock over. And so any kind of a cabinet that you use, you also want to add containers to stand that stuff in so that it's not easily knocked over and falling on your head. Another one is towels take up a lot of room. When you fold a big towel, it takes up a huge amount of space physically. And it might use one towel might fold up and take up a third or a half of the cabinet space that you have to put it in. So if you don't have great big cabinets in the bathroom itself, then making those linens go live somewhere else is probably a good idea. You know, keeping the towel that you're actually using in the shower right now, the wash rag, a hand towel, for instance, at the sink in there, but having those extras that are waiting to be used, have those go live somewhere else besides the bathroom. They're very disproportionate to the small little storage and under sink space that is provided usually in a bathroom. Those linens more than eat up that space in a big hurry and don't give you a whole lot of volume. So better to let those live somewhere else.
Well, and I would even say if you're fortunate enough to have plenty of space in the bedroom and a small bathroom, consider a towel, putting a towel rack, you know, freestanding piece of furniture or another type of towel rack in the bedroom instead of in the bathroom. It'll dry faster out there anyway. So if you have that luxury, that's a nice way to go.
Right.
And have one less thing that has to be in your.
In that space.
Stuffy, moist bathroom.
Exactly. That's so true. And you need to remove, so we talked about removing the linens out, then the idea of thinning out the products, I'm going to circle back to that and say, find what you actually are using in the bath first. So if you think about all the products that are on the counter inside the actual tub or shower, you know that half of that's sitting there because you brought it in once and used it and then you didn't like it. Or you got halfway through a bottle and then decided you wanted to try another flavor or whatever. So thinning those products that you're trying to keep in the bath to the things that you're actually using right now. And maybe some of it needs to go back into the backstock container, wherever that's being stored. Like, I'm halfway through this bottle of coconut flavor, but it's winter and I don't like coconut in the winter. Well, okay, fine. So take that bottle out and go put it away, clean it and go put it away with the backstock and keep in there what you're using instead. And don't have a huge amount of extra falderol in there. The edge of the bath is the notoriously not flat. It's designed so that the water won't pool. You know, the products are not going to survive on the edge of a tub for very long. And so having a million products in the bath are a terrible idea, because you know that you spin around in the bath and you end up knocking four bottles down into the bottom of the bathtub. So make sure that what's in there is actually what you're using right now, and everything else goes and lives somewhere else. Those are some solutions about the bath for us. And so I'm wondering if anybody else has some solutions they want to share today.
Cindy, who is with us on Facebook, said clear shoeboxes with lids labeled, extra toothpaste, floss, brushes, one labeled facial, one named makeup, etc.
Those are good ones. And again, that's the, you're creating your variety, your collection of variety and back stock, and labeling them is great. And don't think you have to fill the container. Or if the container starts to get overly full, then you have to recognize that that's, you know, reflecting the backwash that you have. That when you have to containerize, you know, four boxes full of dental products, you're probably not using them as fast as you're getting them. So it's time to, you know, recognize that some of that needs to be passed off, sent out to the, you know, the next place, and, you know, get it down to a volume of, I only need one box of things to deal with my teeth, and the rest of it is too much for me to store. I don't need a dental supply house in my bathroom.
Anya said, with the redone bathroom, we invested in a mirror cabinet above the sink with a socket for a toothbrush and storage, and also lighting. Expensive, but great.
Yeah, that's a good one. Sometimes you just have to adapt, right? The builders do not think very hard about how we're supposed to make those bathrooms work. And, you know, the trend is, here's the pedestal sink, and here's, and it's all very Spartan looking. It's like, okay, this bathroom works only if you're a guest and you're not actually going to do anything except come in here and use the bathroom, wash your hands. And then otherwise it's a complete waste. So yeah, they design to make it look good as long as no one's actually living in the house or using the bathroom. And I see Anita has her hand up.
I have a house that was built in, I think, the late 70s. And they have a space for a little stool, a little vanity stool that you can sit down, put on your makeup and all that. Totally wasted space because I never sit down and put on makeup. So I got two little sets of plastic drawers that fit under there. And I've labeled them with that's backstop makeup. One says sleep, another says medications, another one says sight, dental, all those things. Yeah. And they're small, so I can't overload them or they won't close.
Right.
And that's worked well. That, and because this is a long, what's it got, 5 or 6 feet wide, this long counter with this drawers and cabinets under it. The tendency is to, like, I have enough moisturizer now to last me for like two lifetimes. So
every woman does.
Yeah. So I have a do not buy list of things that, as I found, don't buy this, don't buy any more, any kind of moisturizer at all. And I use, you know, those slide, we talked about them last week for kitchens and stuff. Under sink, they have these two drawer racks that you can pull out as drawers.
Yeah, yeah.
That means that you can store a whole bunch of little short bottles on the top and a whole bunch of big ones on the bottom. And I use hair clips. You know the hair clips that look like claws?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I had a bunch of them. I was about to throw them out, and then I realized I can roll up the cords and grab them with the hair clips.
Yeah, and yeah, and clip them.
Yeah, little biscuits of cords. So.
And you reminded me of something I forgot to say. Thank you very much, Anita. Thanks for sharing. That when you install the electric toothbrush, for instance, you're going to find someplace and plug it in, and that thing isn't going to move around. It's not going to go anywhere. You don't have to like move the base around. So figure out where you're going to plug it in and where you want it to sit, and then go back and fold all those cords up and zip tie them and twist tie them and hair clip them together so that that is corralled to exactly from the plug to where the base unit's going to sit. And then it stops being a problem. Now, the blow dryer, you have to like clip and unclip every day as you use it. But if you clip it back up when you're done, then it's not in your way as much. And so it's worth the effort to, like you said, hair clip it up, get something to go around it and hold on to it. Thanks.
Yep.
Miss Lynn.
I went through my bathroom and got 3 garbage bags full of expired and old stuff that had been in there for years. I also had that vanity area in my bathroom, and I bought a piece of furniture from Wayfair that fit exactly in that area. And I bought a vanity table to put in the bathroom, my bedroom, for all the makeup.
There you go.
except for that, what you use every day, you know, you put that in a little container right there on your counter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I agree with that, but big improvement. I needed my toilet fixed, and also embarrassed about my bathroom. I put my hand behind that toilet and fix it myself, you know, do it, hand flush it for a year before I would allow somebody to go into that bathroom, but I finally cleared it out.
So, isn't that great? You know, sometimes you have to have an external stimulus to get motivated, right? But
absolutely,
there's nothing like, I don't want the workman to see my nasty bath to make you get going, right? So good for you. That's very good. And I like the idea of, you know, that empty hole that's supposed to be where you sit. Mm-hmm. You added storage in there so you could, you know, collect things in the bathroom out of the way. And then I think moving makeup into another location is a good one. A lot of people assume that you need to do your makeup in the bathroom, but it does create a product overload. And so having a separate, if you get up and put makeup on every day, having a separate location for that is probably a good idea. So good job. Thank you.
I also use the old shampoos and soaps to do hand wash.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's
I take it to the other bathroom. And use it up.
And use it up. Make it go away. Exactly. Awesome. Who else has something to add today?
Doreen said, 6 vanity drawers. 4 sons and husband each get a drawer. Extra drawer for washcloths. Mama gets the downstairs shower and drawer there. Hardly anything on counter. Every bedroom has a towel rack on the door for bath towels.
Hey, that works. A towel rack on the door for bath towels. There you go. That works. That sounds like good corralling. What's Michelle, up, Michelle?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, after Christmas, you set a task called low-hanging fruit.
Mm.
And part of my job, I went round the bathroom and I did a sniff test on old lipsticks. And each one I pulled out, if it smelled iffy, just went in a bag. It took me about 10 minutes to blitz the makeup. And then I don't know if you have the same, it's called Boots here. And I think it's called Walgreens.
Oh, Walgreens. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Like a massive chemist.
Yeah.
They have a big recycle bin. So you can take all your old makeup down and they'll ethically get rid of it all for you. So you don't need to feel any guilt about what you've wasted or the impact. The nice people at Walgreens will just sort it for you.
That's awesome. That's really great. I'm going to have to check that out and see what kind of programs they list here in my area. I'll go look that up. That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that.
I think it was number 7. I don't know if Walgreens have number 7 Boots brand there, but it was a big cardboard bucket by the door. And
throw all your makeup in there. That is awesome. Thank you. I will check that out and make some references to it later, because I know everybody hates throwing away makeup, but it does die, it does turn, it does become unsafe to use. And so sometimes it's just like the food is dead and you can't eat it. The makeup dies and you can't put it on your face or you're going to have problems. So it's a good thing to get rid of. And I'm so glad you went through. I wouldn't have thought to sniff the lipsticks, but I like the idea because it's, you know, it's some sort of oil-based or chemical-based product and it's going to smell weird if it's starting to turn, right? So good idea to do the sniff test. I need to add that into my bathroom instructions for later. Thank you. So I think we need to get to the tittle to Ed.
Actually, before we do that,
okay,
let's talk about next week.
Okay.
Next week, we're going to go to the master closet, the main closet that you use when you are trying to get dressed in the morning will be the subject. We haven't come up with a snappy title yet, but it'll be coming. And we will also, we'll do a survey about that as well. So watch your email for that. We'll have a few questions about how you use your closets and where you run into trouble in the closet.
And I specifically want to talk about the closets that that you get dressed out of every day, as opposed to the other closets in the house that you use to store other things. So we're going to concentrate on how I get dressed out of this closet every day.
All right, now let's talk about the tittle.
The tittle, a product problem. Of all of people who answered the survey, most blame their clutter on too many products more than any other single issue. That too many products just got repeated over and over and over again. So this week's assignment is going to be to review the products you've accumulated in the bathroom. It's time to thin the herd. Just like Michelle was describing, gather all the products together and pull everything out of all of the places you've got it stashed. Sort them by product type, and then you want to go through and select what you actually use. The ones that you're currently washing with, the ones that you're currently makeup you're currently putting on, the toothpaste you're actually using, the deodorant you're actually using. You want to find those products that you're using, put those aside because those are going to go back. And then you want to find ways to get rid of the rest. Now, there may be a collection of things I use every day and some back stock, but I want you to look at the back stock in terms of how many years will it take me to use all this back stock? And if it's not a scent that you don't like, and if it's not a scent that you actually like, if it's something you wouldn't use, if it's something you've had for a long time, and if you don't use it up quickly, it's going to start to turn. These are things that all need to go on to be used immediately to someone else. So sort your product, keep what you're using now, keep a reasonable back stock based on storage space and your ability to use it up. And then everything else, find a way to get rid of it. Go to a buy nothing group on Facebook, donate it to a shelter, find a refugee program, take it to your office and stick it in the break room. Whatever you need to do to go put it in front of people and let people carry that shampoo home with them and not have it be with you is the goal. So I want you to select what needs to go and then find some place that you feel comfortable giving it away. And I realize I'm giving you an errand in addition to work at home, but I think this is so important for you to find a way to donate these half used or unused products before they just sit in your cabinet and die and can not be used at all. Send them on and do the work that you need to find a way to do that. And then you will be relieved of that burden. So that's our goal. And we want to hear how it went when we come back next week.
If you're watching this on YouTube, we would love for you to join us live. To receive notifications about upcoming events, we invite you to join the meetup group by visiting cfhou.com/meetup.
Meetup.
You can also follow us on Facebook by visiting cfhou.com/Facebook. Or subscribe to our mailing list by visiting cfhou.com/subscribe. We love to hear from you, so please send us your questions, comments, and topic suggestions in YouTube comments, on Facebook, or anywhere else that you find us. You can always reach us through our website at clutterfairhouston.com.
Thanks for joining us today, you guys. We really appreciate that you're doing the surveys. And I think that we're having a good time reading your surveys, and we appreciate that we've had such great participation. So thanks for that. And we're going to, you know, work our way around the house with some survey reports. And so keep participating, and we will look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks.
Would you also like to talk about your necklace before we go?
Oh, yes. This is one that I just got finished. It was from the Colorado Bead Retreat last September, and I just finished putting the backing on it this past Saturday. So I'm wearing it because it's brand new finished. Thank you. Y'all are so nice.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Okay. See ya. Bye.